You're listening to More Perfect Marketing, the show for business owners and entrepreneurs always on the lookout for smart marketing ideas to keep their business moving forward. And now, here's your host, David Baer.
Well, hello and welcome to another episode of More Perfect Marketing. My name is David Baer. Today, I am so pleased to have Stephen Halasnik joining me. He is the co-founder of a company called Financial Solutions, which sets up low-interest lines of credit for small businesses. We'll talk a little bit about that, but more importantly, we'll talk about his experience building six different companies, including two that have made the Inc. magazine lists of fastest-growing companies in the U.S. And he's also spent the last few years interviewing folks in both the profit and nonprofit leadership space on his own podcast, the Entrepreneur MBA podcast, as well as the Nonprofit MBA podcast. I'm super, super thrilled to welcome Stephen Halasnik. Stephen, welcome.
Thank you. It's good. It's fun to be here. I like doing podcasts. I'm usually on the other end doing the podcast.
Well, I'm glad to turn the tables on you because you've had the opportunity, not just as somebody who has been interviewing lots of people, but also growing your own businesses. And one of the areas that I wanted to dive into with you today was around how businesses grow through marketing, and specifically through a systematic approach to marketing. It's something you've done. It's something that you've talked to others about and learned from them as well. And so I wanted to sort of start by getting a sense of the types of businesses that you've been in. We mentioned one of them at the top of the show, but just to sort of get a sense of the industries and types of organizations that you've headed.
Yep. So you are correct. Well, you're accurate in saying six because that's what I've said. And then at one time, I was like, wait a minute. And I was adding it up. I'm like, I actually built seven companies, but I've so used to saying six that I just kind of stick with it. But so the first company I had was a digital printing company. This is 30 years ago. I was working for Xerox for 8 years. Mm-hmm. And I stayed with Xerox while I started this other company without Xerox knowing it. So I had that. I had that wasn't that big a deal, that company. Then I started a company that placed really high end consultants. It was called Expert Seeker. And it was a great business, very profitable. I did really well in it. It kind of set me up for my other businesses. And then I started another company that the Expert Seeker was like around 6 million. Mm. But I was making really great profit on that one. The second one, third one was a company called Healthcare Seeker. We placed registered nurses on long-term temporary assignments at hospitals throughout the United States. They're called travel nurses. That company did very well, got to 11 million. It was one of the Inc. 500 fastest growing companies. I think I would have been on the list three times if I hadn't. Okay.
You need to update that bio. So it's seven companies and three times on the Inc. List.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm trying to make this fast for you because it'll take up. Then I bought a very large commercial building. So that's another company, mm-hmm. Adila. And then we started with a partner this time, Financing Solutions, which is what I have now, which is a company I'm very active in. It does really, really well. We don't really care about Inc. 500 fastest going on that one, but it probably could be on the 5,000 list, instead of the 500. But yeah. And then Elite Funeral Funding is on the list as well. And what we do is we buy life insurance policies when people pass away so that people can get the money up front instead of having to wait. And I missed a company that I had before that, Credential Agent, which was software that stored employee credentials so that companies could keep their credentials of their employees updated easily. So
interestingly, you've sort of taken in at least two of those instances, companies in a space. What I heard was human resources, and then some form of getting money in people's hands, whether it's businesses or families in this case, right? And you've taken this and sort of expanded the concept into a new company. Is was I'm going to guess that was intentional?
No. It wasn't. Going where the money is.
How would you like to become part of the More Perfect Marketing family? You can when you join our free online community, More Perfect Marketers. Inside, you'll get access to our collection of marketing cheat sheets to help you streamline your business growth, as well as the videos from David's Niche Challenge, which will teach you the counterintuitive approach to selling more by focusing on a narrower audience. To join for free, please visit mpmcommunity.com. That's mpmcommunity.com. Now, back to the show.
Okay. You know, I mean, basically, I would say maybe it was more true what you said when it came to healthcare seeker, because of expert seeker. But I typically am always looking to say, okay, for a long time, I was really good at picking trends and saying, okay, I see this is going to be really valuable going forward. You know, the idea is that it's so much easier to build a company during the tide coming in,
yeah,
you know, than it is when the tide's going out. So, like, you know, not to get into too much of the weeds here, but like with Expert Seeker, man, did I catch a wave. It was unbelievable. It was great. I knew it. I also knew when to get out too, because the wave receded mm-hmm. quickly, not quickly, but receded. Okay. Whereas healthcare seeker, I got in as the wave was going out. So that was definitely, like, even though I got to 11 million, we got destroyed by the 2008 housing crisis, which surprised everybody. So,
yeah. It's an interesting, because I imagine that industry, the healthcare seeker and traveling nurses, is probably something that is cyclical. I mean, we probably have seen a lot of it in recent years as a result of the pandemic, but maybe not something that is going to be a business you will always want to be in.
The thing is I was wrong. I got into a healthcare seeker business because I thought it was recession proof. Mm-hmm. And what happened was when everybody in 2008 lost their jobs, they lost their health insurance. So they stopped going to the hospitals because they couldn't afford it. So the amount of people going to the hospitals went down. So they didn't need nurses. And, you know, but listen, I hung in there for another 5 years after the recession. It went from 11 million down to 7 million, down to 5 million, down to 3 million, down to 1 million. It's awfully small. And I just couldn't take it anymore, because I knew when it came back, it was going to come back strong. And it really did. Like a very good friend of mine who became great friends with, his company was at 40 million. It went down to 20 million. It then went down to 10 million. And then he brought it back right when I got out to 80 million. Mm. So, it was going to come back, you know, and I just couldn't stand it anymore. I had to get out.
Yeah. So this brings up an interesting point, which I think will bring us into some of the marketing system stuff, which is that very often emotions guide the way that businesses are run. And whether it's you weren't necessarily couching that as an emotional thing, except that I imagine seeing those numbers change had some impact on you emotionally in one way or another. But a lot of business owners will let those emotions guide them, and when you have systems in place, particularly around business growth, marketing, et cetera, that you follow, hopefully you have something to lean on that will redirect your emotional attention in a sort of structured way. So I'm sort of curious to hear a little bit about your thoughts and perspective on the importance of systems.
For marketing systems, correct?
Yes, correct. Yeah.
So I've always been a huge evangelist for the idea that you grow your company through marketing systems. But by what does that mean? That you should be spending a huge amount of time. So there's two thoughts of how you grow a business, right? One is, let's have a great product, let's have a great service, and word will magically spread that you are the best person in the entire world, or you are really good at getting your product or service in front of people in marketing. Mm-hmm. And I I'm on the side for my skill set and for what I do and for all the companies I've had, that it's my 95% of my time is about marketing and where, and you know, what works, how much does it cost us per client to get a client in that channel? How much money do we make, and what's the magic formula for us to get, you know, to build our revenue? And so I spend like an exorbitant amount, like with Financing Solutions, we've been in business over 11 years. I know it already. Mm-hmm. Like, we have it so down that we know exactly where to spend our money for marketing, right? It's a very good company. Okay. You know, so Elite Funeral Funding, that's a different animal, actually. But we know exactly, because we've tested so many different things. That company's about 6 years old. And that's been the same with all the companies. I've always known the key. And I'll tell you how this all started. When I had Expert Seeker, my means of, I came from the sales world. So I was one of the top sales people in the country for Xerox. And Xerox, for those of you who don't have snow on the roof like me, Xerox was the Google of its day. The best people worked there. And I mean, it's going to sound egotistical, but I was one of the top sales reps out of 5,000 in the country. So sales was really, I was really good at it. Okay. And sales aren't what people think about, like retail sales. That's not what I did. Okay. It's professional sales is completely different.
Yeah.
Right. It's professional. It's giving your clients what they need and want and helping them. It's a more consultative approach. So anyway, so with Expert Seeker, okay, my marketing at the time was hire a sales rep. Here's a book. Here's a list. Go. Okay. And a couple of things happened. One of them was you had to hire incredibly talented salespeople that cost a fortune. And you weren't going to do that as a small business. Okay. And number two was you end up bringing on younger people, and you just have incredibly high turnover. Mm-hmm. And I was like, and then the third one, which is the worst, is when people leave you. And so I that would happen a lot. I'd have those three scenarios, you know, and I said, I can't do this anymore. I got to be able to control the lead generation. And so, and I wanted to help the salespeople too. You know, I didn't want to just give them a book. Say, here, that's back a phone book back then. Yep. Right. So I said, you know what, if I control the lead generation for the company, in other words, if I build the marketing system where the leads are coming in, I don't have to have as good salespeople. If they leave, I'm not in trouble. And that's where it all started.
Yeah.
So then I started experimenting with, you know, which channels of marketing created the best revenue.
Yeah. I think you've pointed out something that I think is a big realization for a lot of folks who gather expertise in a corporate environment or an enterprise environment and then move into a small business environment, which is the way that you start the relationship or get the attention of a prospective customer is at a very different scale and usually at a very different budget. And you have to think very differently about getting those relationships going to begin with, because you don't have, you know, the type of corporate budgets that exist out there to just make sure that the name Xerox, Coca-Cola, you know, PepsiCo, whatever, Nike are all over the place, that you already have pre-sold, you know, your authority based on your association with the name.
Right.
You were coming in with an unknown quantity, I'm going to assume, in most situations, the first time that they were dealing with your salespeople.
Yep.
And you had to find a different way to get in the door and get their attention and get them to appreciate the quality value that you were bringing.
Yeah, I don't believe in branding for small companies. It's, you know, I just don't think you have enough money in your budget to focus on branding, so to speak. So, you know, you got to focus on lead acquisition. How am I going to acquire prospects that become clients? You got to know the magic formula. Mm-hmm. What area am I going to advertise in? Or just let's use that word loosely. What does it cost me to get a client, and how much money do we make off that client per that channel? If you don't have that down and know it, then you are wasting valuable time and money. And honestly, listen, I deal with a lot of small businesses. They don't even know. They don't even do app marketing.
Yeah.
Right. They think it's all about a word of mouth, you know? So my podcast that you mentioned that I do, you know, the mission of that podcast is to help small businesses get over the $10 million in revenue mark, right? You cannot get, it does depend on the industry, but you can't get over $10 million in revenue if you haven't tackled the marketing end, if you haven't gotten that down.
Totally. You mentioned something twice now, and I want to circle back on it because I think it's a very important point that you've made, which is on a per channel basis, you're actually Yes. looking at where you're spending the money, what the return on that investment is. And I think that that's a really important point. We actually, you know, talk about this not just in terms of cost of acquisition, but cost of the value of the velocity of conversion from a particular channel, as well as how valuable that customer, client, patient, whatever is over the course of time, including referral opportunity from that channel as well. So I'm okay. sort of curious to know, you said that you've gotten this thing dialed in pretty well over 11 years with Financial Solutions. What have you seen, and what changes have you had to make over that time to really dial in the per channel attribution and quality of what you're getting, where you're getting it from?
Right. Well, I am, you know, as a marketing person, as you can imagine, I think all listeners who are out there who are marketing type of people are very creative, right? So, so let's talk about marketing channels, right? I can't say what Financing Solutions marketing channel is, yeah.
We don't need to get in the specifics, yeah, yeah. but in terms of how you approach it, I think is more important.
Yeah, in general, I mean, I look and I keep looking. So it's print advertising it's still out there. Okay. Trade publications, a variety of other things are still being printed. Okay. Believe it or not, postcards, postcards to mailing lists. Okay. Not a lot of mail goes out anymore. It's an opportunity, you know, because you get in front of people. Let me give you a couple more and then we'll back into what I'm thinking here. Of course, SEO, search engine optimization, search engine marketing, pay per click, display ads, you got, referral marketing, you know, what type of system do you have for other people to refer other people? You know, you got email marketing, so on and so forth. I can go right down the line, but, sure. You know, make a list of all the things that you possibly could market to, you know, through, and then you got to try them. You got to try them. And then it has to be measurable. Whenever we try a marketing campaign, we have a unique URL. It sounds simple, but a lot of people don't do it. Yeah. You have to have a unique URL for your site. So I know it came from this print magazine. This person converted. Okay. If they became a client, how much money, revenue did they generate? This is not an easy process. This is why I spend 95% of my time on it. And the reason being is once you get that magic formula down, man, your company works like clockwork, right? Yeah. You only have to worry about is if that magic formula doesn't I'll give you an example. I mean, I remember with one of my companies within the first 6 months, we were doing paid per ad on, pay per click on Google. And man, it was unbelievable. It was working so well. Okay. And we were like, this is fantastic. We're going to be able to turn it on, turn it off, turn it on, turn it off. Because we were growing so fast that we couldn't handle the volume. Yeah. Okay. Well, guess what happened? All my competition found out about it, you know, and then the price, of course, everybody, the price went skyrocketing up, became unattainable, and I had to find a new marketing channel, right? This was early on in one of the companies. So, you know, you know, everybody's greatest fear is that Google's going to completely change their SEO algorithms, which they do, but, and you're not going to get leads, you know, through that medium, anymore. So anyway, yeah. So it's always, I've always been a big part of it, big measuring, you know, being creative about what channels we're going in. I'm always looking for that magic bullet, you know, what's really going to work.
So tell me a little bit about how you approach this. You have something that's up and running, and I guess, you know, if you think about how, you know, sales letters, copywriting works, where there's a control letter that is sort of, you know, doing a certain amount of business on behalf of the company, and then they'll test other things against it. Are you sort of taking a similar approach when it's looking for new avenues?
Yes. Yeah. You know, I think some of that has to do with my experience when I got into digital printing. So digital printing at the time was revolutionary, and what digital printing is and was is customization. So you, the ability to print a brochure that's fully customized with, you know, people's names and people's information. This is 30 years ago. So I think that idea of personalized marketing was a big part of some of our marketing campaigns, but it had to be very well thought out, you know, like what type of information do we want to buy to, you know, get personalization into whatever, you know, the print publication we were doing at the time, or, you know, now you can do through email. It's some old school stuff. Mm-hmm. And things have changed a lot, you know, but what's that channel that really works? And it may not be just, you know, it'd be better if it's not just one.
Yeah.
You know, but, you know, we've done that where we've had three or four different ones at the same time that we've been doing. And then we found out, you know, this doesn't work, or this does, but this one does better. So.
You had this cautionary tale about this Google, you know, situation that you had. And I imagine that you try very hard not to have just one channel in case you ever, you know, have that disruption of that channel.
The only thing I would say is, you know, I haven't seen that disruption yet. It's, you know, I don't even think about it that much. I mean, I could respond so quickly typically because I'm so good at it. You know, again, I spend 95% of my time on marketing. Most business owners spend 95% of their time working in the business on, you know, with clients. Mm-hmm. You know, they don't spend any time on marketing, you know, and so that's not what I've ever done. You know, I've always been the person working on the business, not in the business. And that's a big distinction between, you know, building $1 million company, building a $10 million company, right? Again, to, you know, my companies have ranged anywhere between $5 million and $25 million. So two of my companies right now are each bringing in $25 million in revenue, mm-hmm. Each. So listen, I'm not trying to pump myself up. I haven't built a $100 million company. I haven't built a public company. I haven't done it, and nor did I kind of want that. I mean, it would have been nice, anyway, you know, I do think that the reason why I've been able to be successful in building profitable companies, seven of them, okay, companies that have allowed me to have the quality of life that I always wanted, right? To still love what I do for a living. Okay. Is because I focused on marketing. Yeah.
So what, one of the pushbacks that we'll often hear as advisors to small businesses is the lack of affordability or the lack of budget to accomplish something. And you happen to be in the business of helping businesses, you know, access money. What can you talk a little bit about how you got into that space?
So Yeah. So my business partner and I, I've known him for over 25 years. We were in the entrepreneur organization together. We're in the same forum group. Mm-hmm. He had a very successful custom manufacturing company that he sold. He did really well with it. And I was looking for my next company. Healthcare Seeker had kind of fizzled out. It was still going, but I just wasn't, I had somebody running it. And so he and I started doing for 3 years, we started looking at angel funding deals, right? This is early on. Okay. So, we thought, let's go find a guy who's got a lot of enthusiasm and a good idea, right? So we looked at 500 deals over those 3 years, and we literally found nothing that we were impressed with. Mm-hmm. So I went to my mentor, and he had been my mentor for 20 years, and he kind of told us about this space of providing business funding, business financing. And we both, Keith and I, had good money on the side because we use our own money. So to give to businesses, to mm-hmm. give lines of credit. And so it's kind of funny. So I'm not a finance guy. I'm a marketing guy. So I really don't understand finance that well. Right. And so we're at the lunch table with my mentor, and Keith is there with me, my business partner. My mentor Will was telling us about this idea of this business that soon became business financing solutions. Mm-hmm. And we left the meeting and I didn't really realize what was going on. And Keith comes out and he's like, do you know the margins that you're talking about in this business? And the ability that we have with our capital to really grow it. And also to have the quality of life that we want.
Yep.
And, he saw it and I didn't. So I was like, okay, let's do it. And he's like, wait a minute. What do you mean let's do it? I'm like, let's do it. That's the way I am. I said, mm-hmm. okay, stop thinking. Let's go do it. We could do a couple deals and see where it was. It worked out really well. And then we did Elite Funeral Funding as actually a counter to financing solutions, because we thought during a recession, we were worried about it. We both know what happens during recessions.
Yeah.
And so Elite Funeral Funding was geared toward counterbalancing financing solutions. And we were really wrong during recessions. Financing solutions actually does better. So.
Which in retrospect makes sense, I imagine, but going into it and probably because you were thinking about your experience with the traveling nurse, business. Oh, I better, protect myself this time makes total sense.
And Keith too. So we both have experience. When you've been doing this for 30 years, there's these ups and downs and ups and downs. So.
And I think that, this is an often repeated lesson, is that you need to fail in order to then, be successful subsequently.
I wrote a chapter in this book.
And whether it's outright failure or have bumps in the road so that you realize different ways of doing things.
Yeah. I think that the key has been for me, that I've been able to live to fight another day because I don't have super expensive things. I've been able to save money for a rainy day. Mm-hmm. Right. So I don't have super expensive cars, super expensive jewelry. I don't have, a tremendously expensive lifestyle. And that's allowed me to put money away that I now, here's, I mean, the true, the advantage I use to, for financing solutions and Elite, which is in the business of giving money out.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of lessons here. One of them is, if you're a business owner, you just better be ready for there to be a bad 3, 4, 5 years in your business. you know, and because it's going to come and you better be ready. And the reason why I've been able to do this for 30 years is because I had a slush fund and I was always looking ahead. Like with Expert Seeker, I knew exactly when to get out. So 2 months, I saw the World Trade Towers fall from my office in New Jersey. And when those office towers fell, I knew my company was over. And 2 months later, I laid off 95% of my staff. And I'm not gonna, it's too long for me to get into the explanation, but I knew that it was, and it was the definitely right move. And that company, I kept it for 5 more years. It still got good profits, but I moved on to my next thing. And that one I knew about when to get out. So.
Obviously, you know, you've been through a lot. You understand the way that you want to live your life as a business owner, and you have lessons to teach others, and you continue to learn from others as well. Through financing solutions, you're supporting a range of different types of businesses. What types of businesses do you most often tend to support through that?
Well, so they're typically under $5 million in revenue.
Okay.
So they're over, $200,000 a year in revenue. So anywhere, you know, the average, we might be $1.5 million in revenue, and it's businesses and nonprofits. So that's our niche, you know, right in that, because those companies can't get financing. They just can't, you know, and I'm also an evangelist about the idea of having a line of credit in place. I've know what that's like.
It speaks to the rainy day that you were just alluding to.
You're absolutely right. Absolutely right. I mean, I got caught once a long time ago with, you know, Healthcare Seeker, where, you know, we were just growing in leaps and bounds, and we had a very big line of credit. And I went back to the bank and asked for an additional increase. And they're like, "Oh, sure, we'll let you know in 30 days. I'm like, "No, I got payroll due on Friday. You can't let me. I'm doing great. You don't let me know." So I've always had a line of credit. I've always been ahead of the game, but I do think I'm an evangelist when it comes to the ideas. Have a line of credit in place. Don't be silly. You know? And it's hard to get from a bank. It's almost impossible. So,
well, this has been excellent. There's two podcasts that you're running that we'll have to make sure people know how to find. And they can find it when they actually head over to financingsolutionsnow.com, because you have them under the resources section. But I'll leave links to both those podcasts as well as Financing Solutions, which, you know, either is a great case study for somebody to check out, or if they're looking to get more information on the services you provide, obviously that's the best place for them to go, I assume.
Yeah, it is. And by the way, that's a key lead generation system for us. So, you know, those podcasts, just like for you, David, you know, it's, you know, not only are these podcasts fun to do, right? They're inexpensive to do. But they're a good lead generator. So.
All right. So you revealed one of your sources, and
everybody knows that one. That's not a magic wand, right?
So, well, excellent. Stephen Hlasnik, thank you so very much for hanging out.
This has been a
great conversation, really insightful, and great to hear the personal experiences that you've had as great lessons for our listeners.
Well, I'm glad to be here. Thank you for asking.
Indeed. Folks, this has been another episode of More Perfect Marketing. If you heard something that you think somebody in your life could benefit from hearing as well, please share this show with them. And if you got some feedback for us, we'd love to hear it via Apple Podcast Reviews. So head on over there and let us know what you thought. Until next time, I'm David Baer, and this has been More Perfect Marketing. Take care.
You have been listening to More Perfect Marketing. Now you can put what you've learned here into practice when you join the free listener community at mpmcommunity.com. That's mpmcommunity.com. When you join today, you'll receive David's collection of 26 smart marketing cheat sheets to help you master your marketing, plus additional business building training. So don't delay. Join us today at mpmcommunity.com. We can't wait to welcome you.